everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of Pillars of Perception. I'm your host, Hindle Ravelli, and today we're taking an interesting journey back in time to explore how anxiety was understood and managed from the days of ancient Greece to our current era. It's a story that stretches over millennia, touching on the wisdom of philosophers like Hippocrates, Cicero, and Seneca, and leading us to the advanced therapeutic approaches we see today. In this episode, we're diving deep into the world of anxiety, not just scratching the surface, but really getting into how it weaves its way through every corner of our lives, from our health and decision-making to our relationships and daily routines. We'll also touch base on how cognitive behavioral group therapy, or CBGT, can help with anxiety. We're talking about a powerful tool in the mental health toolkit, one that's helping countless people navigate the often choppy waters of anxiety. Many might think of anxiety as a fairly modern concept, but our story begins in ancient Greece, where Hippocrates, often called the father of Western medicine, was one of the first to suggest that emotions, including anxiety, stem from the brain. He and his colleagues believed in the balance of bodily fluids, or humors, as they'd like to call it, and saw anxiety as a sign of imbalance, a revolutionary idea at the time. Fast forward a few centuries to Rome, where Stoic philosophers like Seneca and Cicero were delving into the nature of anxiety. They saw it not just as a medical issue, but as a philosophical one, tied to our fears about the future and our place in the world. Their insights laid the groundwork for what we'd now call cognitive approaches to managing anxiety. As we move into the Middle Ages and the Renaissance, the understanding of anxiety takes a backseat to more mystical and religious explanations for human behavior. But by the time of the Enlightenment, we see a reappearance in interest in the mind and emotion. This period brought us thinkers like Robert Burton, whose work The Anatomy of Melancholy explores the psychological and social aspects of anxiety and depression. It's a fascinating read that combines medical knowledge with philosophical inquiry, highlighting the complex nature of human emotions. Jumping ahead to the 19th and early 20th centuries, we witness the birth of modern psychology and psychiatry. Pioneers like Freud began to classify and treat anxiety not just as a symptom, but as a condition in its own right. This era marked a significant shift towards a more scientific and systematic approach to understanding anxiety. It's also where we see the first inklings of what would become cognitive behavioral therapy, also known as CBT. The idea that our thoughts could influence our emotions and behaviors was gaining traction, setting the stage for some of the most effective anxiety treatments we have today. In our contemporary world, anxiety is recognized as a widespread and deeply impactful condition. With advances in neuroscience and psychology, we've developed a nuanced understanding of anxiety's causes, from genetic factors to environmental influences. Today's treatments range from medication to a variety of psychotherapies, with CBT leading the charge as one of the most effective methods. We've also seen a rise in mindfulness and meditation practices, echoing some of the ancient Stoic principles about focusing on the present. So, what does all this history mean for us today? First, it's a reminder that anxiety is a fundamental part of the human condition. Something people have grappled with for centuries. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just part of who we are. It also highlights the importance of understanding our own anxiety, not just as a set of symptoms, but as a complex interplay of thoughts, emotions, and physical sensations. By learning from the past and leveraging today's knowledge, we find strategies that help us manage anxiety in healthy, productive ways. Now we're going to move on to cognitive behavioral group therapy. So what is CBGT all about? Imagine combining the science-backed strategies of cognitive behavioral therapy with the dynamic energy of a supportive group. It's about learning together, growing together, and facing anxiety not in isolation, but as part of the community. The roots of CBGT lie in the understanding that how we think, how we feel, and how we act are deeply interconnected. Change one and you can influence the others. It's about identifying those anxiety-inducing thoughts and behaviors and learning new, more constructive ways to respond to them. Let's pivot for a moment and explore something universally accessible, yet profoundly impactful in managing anxiety. The power of friendship. I know it's cliche, but hear me out. While structured therapies like CBGT offer incredible benefits, not everyone has access to them, and that's okay. The essence of what makes CBGT effective, connection, sharing, understanding, can also thrive within our personal networks. Diving into the science, we find compelling evidence that social support, the kind we receive from genuine friendships, plays a crucial role in buffering against the storms of anxiety. Studies have shown that individuals who feel supported by friends and family experience lower levels of anxiety and better mental health outcomes. It's the feeling of being understood and accepted, the knowledge that you're not alone, that can light up the darker corners of our minds. It's not just about having friends, it's about opening up to them. The act of sharing your thoughts and feelings, of being vulnerable in a safe space, has been linked to reductions in anxiety. This process of self-disclosure can be therapeutic itself, helping to untangle the web of anxious thoughts and emotions that often feel overwhelming when kept inside. There's a biological underpinning to this as well. When we connect with others, our bodies release oxytocin, sometimes known as the love hormone, which has a calming effect on the brain. It's as if our biology is wired to find solace in companionship, to seek out connections as a natural antidote to anxiety. If structured therapy isn't within reach, don't underestimate the therapeutic potential of simply being part of a supportive friend group. Encourage open, honest conversations. Create an environment where everyone feels safe to share their struggles and victories over anxiety. And you'll find that this shared journey can lead to profound healing and growth. Remember, the evidence is clear. The support, understanding, and connection we find in our friendships are not just nice to have. They are fundamental to our mental well-being. So let's cherish these connections, nurture them, and lean into them, especially when the going gets tough. In the tapestry of mental health strategies, the threads woven by friendship and openness are among the most vibrant and resilient. Anxiety is not just a feeling. It's a force that can shape our entire being. Think about it. How we learn, how we process information, even how we see the world can all be colored by anxiety. And it doesn't stop there. Anxiety can crank up our stress levels, mess with our immune system, and even influence how we handle pain. But it's not all doom and gloom. Understanding anxiety's reach gives us power, the power to recognize it, the power to tackle it, and the power to take back control. Dive into the social side of things, and you'll see anxiety's fingerprints everywhere. It affects how we interact with technology, how we make decisions, and even how we behave in groups. Ever felt more anxious in a crowd or stressed about making the right choice? That's anxiety at play. And then there's the impact on our families and relationships. Anxiety can be a silent guest in our homes, shaping how we connect with our loved ones, influencing parenting styles, and even affecting children's social development. It's like a thread that weaves through the fabric of our social lives, sometimes pulling a little too tight. Culture plays a big role too. Different societies have different attitudes towards anxiety, shaping how it's experienced and expressed. And let's not forget about personal experiences. Things that happened in our childhood, major life events, and even our day-to-day routines can all affect our anxiety levels. It's fascinating and a bit daunting how anxiety can mirror the complexities of our culture and personal landscapes. So what do we do with all this knowledge? First up, we arm ourselves with understanding. Knowing how anxiety works, where it comes from, and how it affects us is half the battle. And then we take action through therapy, lifestyle changes, and maybe even a bit of self-reflection. Cognitive behavioral therapy, mindfulness, exercise, these aren't just buzzwords. They're tools in our arsenal against anxiety. And the beauty is, there's no one-size-fits-all solution. It's about finding what works for you, what fits into your life, and what makes you feel like you're back in the driver's seat. As we conclude today's episode, I want to thank you for joining me in exploring the complexities of anxiety. We've delved into the science and shared personal insights, highlighting the power of community and understanding. Let's continue to engage in open discussions and support each other in our journeys. Remember, progress, no matter how small, is still progress. Until we meet again, take care and stay curious.